So when I first actually played that Cameron Tilbury, my initial words were three initials, WTF. What the flip, you know. But I think, did Kate get was it Thomas? Yeah, I thought she's got it. She's got a grin the size of a Cheshire cat. Yeah, with nothing else, Cameron. You've pleased Katie no end after going into melodic country and western. Suddenly, Xander Demos turns in. I mean, Tom's having a light and a present, basically. She's standing. Anyway, the news team have come in, so we'll be sorting things through. But how are you, Cameron? Are you well?
I'm very well, yeah. Actually, I thought that would be a perfect song for the drive, because it's white-knuckle driving.
White-knuckle driving, a bit like the news team do all the time. Samantha Coombs, I can't believe this is when news stops, as far as you journalism folk and Siren FM's drive time sequences are concerned.
Yeah, I'm afraid so. Not until next year.
Yeah, well, so you're effectively saying that, you know, after we can write off the Olympics, we can write off the Jubilee celebrations, gone. You know, we're not going to be covering that.
We're not here. We're on holiday.
Holiday? Holiday? You know, are you simply sticking up with that sort of tie-in and worn-out stereotype that students have huge holidays and therefore can't do the new scenarios, etc.?
Of course, yes.
You do realise that this simply means Cameron Tilbury, to whom you are speaking now, will simply get an expanded version of the Midweek Drive from next week. You're supposed to say, yay, Cameron, yay.
Yay.
Yeah. I saw your Facebook little line saying, if you want to go for some Xander Demos, Midweek Drive, round about 5:30 UK time. Yeah, of course, there's always podcasts as well. Daniel, you know, what's it going to be like for you? I mean, withdrawal symptoms, no doubt?
Well, I'm going to miss doing the news. I love doing it. It's fantastic. It's really, really good. It's been great to have been involved with the news team this year and to have covered some good stories as well with that.
Because when they start again, you'll be a second year, of course.
Oh, yeah.
Sophisticated individual doing something completely different.
Yeah, I mean, how time flies.
Well, as the man said when he threw the alarm clock across the room. Oh, well. exciting things coming through on the system. Cameron, you'll be sort of just chilling out in Nashville. What's the weather like in Nashville, by the way?
It's about 85 right now. A little hazy, but blue sky, nice breeze. Beautiful day.
And there we are, you see, and it's a beautiful day in Lincoln as well, you see. So it's just celebrate across the world, although there are hosepipe bans in force, which I know you find, you know, wonderful and amusing in all sorts of ways. We'll talk more about that and a whole heap of other things after the news, because it's approaching 17:45, and Cameron, what happens at 17:45 British Standard Time?
You hit the little thing that makes the news happen.
Same time.
So was it just a case of you thought, I can't be bothered at all? I can't be bothered listening to the sport and making what I've won, so I just jump to the weather.
It's because I'm so used to normally saying it's now back to Daniel with the weather. It's because we're always the other way around.
You've just changed
slip
kit.
Slip of the tongue.
It's amazing. It's extraordinary stuff. Where are you going on holiday?
I'm going to Dominican Republic this
year. Yeah. And will you just be sort of, you know, chilling out or checking out a culture? What will you be doing?
I like to do a bit of both. I like to relax for a few days, but then I can't really sit around for too long. I have to get out and...
Do
a bit of walking or
audio diaries for Siren, you know, about the Dominican Republic.
Maybe.
Start up a revolution. You know?
Maybe.
It's a thought. Obviously, that isn't an endorsing of the station policy with respect to geopolitical affairs, because you don't know where it could be going. Daniel, bikes. Now, you're from Cambridge, even though you support Middlesbrough.
Yeah.
When I spent a year in Cambridge helping set up Cambridge University Radio back in the 80s, before you were born, it's all right, it's understandable. You might have been there in a past life. I thought it was that a town that's obsessed with bikes. It's kind of a bike capital, all sorts of things. Is this where we're heading in Lincoln?
I don't know if we're heading that way in Lincoln or not, but as I say, it is definitely the case in Cambridge. It was
lethal.
It was back in the day. It was the way to get around, and cyclists were always causing trouble back.
See, technically, I would say back in the day, the way to get around was horseback. But you don't see them going.
Well, when I say back in the day, I mean back in, talking about 50s, 60s. You know,
so. Cameron, did you enjoy the sheer wonderment that was Samantha and Daniel with the last in the Siren News pieces for the Midweek Drive that they will ever deliver as level one journalism students, because whatever happens
I'm
when
level
they come
two.
Back. Yeah. Well, even level two. Exactly. Yeah. Level two students. There'll be level three. Who knows what's going to happen, etc. What did you make of it, Cameron?
To me, it was kind of like when Dallas had the cliffhanger of who shot JR. I've got to wait around for the rest of the summer now.
Exactly.
To find out what's going to happen.
You know, what's going to happen with tapas? What's going to happen with respect to the national foods? Those beekeepings exchanging each other's kit. Always are confused there. I don't know. Was it kit off with beekeepers? Surely that's a health and safety hazard. anyway, that's very sad. Thank you, Daniel. Thank you, Samantha. Don't be strangers. You can always contribute. You know, the show's yours. You can fit in. You know, I'm sure, you know, despite the fact that I can already see, you know, Katie's tapping, saying, no, it's not theirs. It's mine. It's my show. It's sorted through, etc. It's okay. Well done. And we'll see you again in the very near future, I'm sure.
Thank you.
You can leave now. Cameron, over to your good self. Xander Demos. Tom, what did you make of Xander Demos and white knuckle driving?
Well, not exactly my kind of thing, but lively.
No,
I guess.
Woke me up. Yeah. Lively in all sorts of ways. Let's bring in Katie from this point. You know, they're still sitting here. You know, the news team. I thought I closed the microphones. I thought there we are. That's their cue. That basically means go away. You know, well, it's time to actually bring the rest of the sort of. You know, it's marvellous that they want to actually go for the whole show. We have to restructure the whole system. Sorry, Cameron. I mean, you know, I don't know if you heard the early part of the show with Andy Comfort, but you know, there's a relaxed atmosphere and there's a case of look. You know, I mean, there's Daniel. I thought he was asking someone to peel him a grape for a moment there. He's just sort of lounging around on the whole system. That's astounding. Sorry, it's just an issue here. We don't have such things with respect to film and television studies or indeed American studies because, you know, different standards. Level 2 journalists, I don't know what happens. I hope you don't go that way, Hannah, when you're going to level 2.
I'm not sure what's going to happen when I go into level 2.
That's why we appreciate, you know, you're marvellous. So, Katie, was it thumbs up for you for Xander?
Yes.
A
bit
like
Ozzy Osbourne.
Yeah, without the lyrics, of course. That was the whole scenario on that point of view.
There are some tracks on the album that have lyrics. Xander does a really great cover of the Don Henley song, Boys of Summer, and shreds of that one too. I really like that. It's probably one of my favorite tracks on there. But White Knuckle Driving is the single, and it's doing really well.
Well, and by really well, I mean, because I suspect it's unlikely to appear in the next sort of edition of Downton Abbey. I mean, I don't know, that's saying, Katie, no. You know, you can't quite see sort of Shirley MacLaine suddenly, you know, coming into the system within that whole thing. But, in terms of the charts, how do people actually get in? I mean, talk to us about Xander as an artiste, Cameron.
Well, the cool thing about Xander is that he doesn't just do metal. He does other forms of music. He's really a melodic player, but he's actually, this is cool, he's in three bands. He has his own band, the Xander Demos Band. He also has a cover band that's been one of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania's top cover bands for years called Into the Arena. And one of the classic rockers are really going to love this because Xander is also part of one of the East Coast USA touring bands of Sabbath, Judas Sabbath, which is the Black Sabbath Judas Priest tribute band. So lots of stuff going on with Xander.
Hmm. Well, I mean, I don't know. I'm thinking about, you know, he just had the opening to Downton Abbey and then suddenly... Oh, sorry. Tommy, would you... No. Philippa? Sort of the general sort of scenario that's so supernatural and suddenly you find...
Oh. I think it would work well.
Do you think so? I mean, Matt Munro actually starts off his thing with, you know...
If Downton Abbey was actually aired in Denmark or Sweden or someplace like that where they really loved their metal, that would be really cool to open it like that.
Yeah.
So you'd have them all speaking in Danish or Swedish or something.
Clearly.
But we're picking up all sorts of stations there. And yesterday, we're really happy to announce we picked up a radio station in Brazil. They're now playing Xander, so he's doing very well.
Well, I mean, I can see, you know, in betwixt to the samba. I mean, I was going to actually ask, what did Lincoln City actually make of having a centre forward with Corpele there? But I thought, no, best me, you know, be stretching out all sorts of things, etc. But as you know, you're suddenly having in the Copacabana, the sort of the American eye, and then suddenly. I just find it a bit scary, to be honest. Yeah, just a little bit scary on that particular side of things. As we said, a slightly expanded version next week. I've got some real treats coming through as the next few weeks concerned. We actually have the winner of the Beverly Hills Bar Association Lawyer of the Year joining us in a couple of weeks' time. We've also got Lucy Parham back with us from that perspective. A whole heap of other goodies coming through as well. So I think it's only a matter of time. Let's test out Hannah on this one. Hannah from Gloucester, of course, who has found her way into the studio twice now. Out of the four shows she could have actually attended, the first one she slept in. What were you in? I don't know what it
was. I was ill that time.
Yes, exactly. Overindulging the night before. And then after that, we actually had the time when you were outside, but you just couldn't find anybody to say, let me in.
Yes, trying to get in for ages. Couldn't get in.
You should have simply used the mobile phone system or telephoned.
Yeah.
Never mind. Anyway, would you like to throw those last two questions to Cameron Tilbury, please?
Cameron, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic conversation with us today?
Interesting is always a word that sums up my weekly visit. So, yes.
Brilliant. And can we count on hearing from you again in the near future?
You certainly can.
And I've got to ask Tom, bearing in mind your time with respect to Minnesota, Moorhead and so on, do you think that Xander Demos with White Knuckle Driving could introduce a bit of community? There?
They are much more country fans up there, actually. To generalise, I'm sure younger people, yeah.
It's just that untapped market, Cameron.
Yeah. I think you secretly like it, Alex. Do you keep playing?
Well, as I said, initially it was WTF, quite clearly. Not WWF, which is a different form of wrestling entirely, or WWF, or indeed World Wildlife Fund. Although I think Xander could possibly be part of. Save the dolphin! Save the dolphin now. But yeah, it's gradually permeating. Although I still don't think it's going to be a useful theme. Tom, you've attended these things, and she is coming on the show in a few weeks' time. The Vice Chancellor, Professor Mary Stewart. You know the opening theme. Although I don't know actually.
I don't think it's entirely but it gives it a certain kind of oomph. Yeah.
Instead of Jerusalem at graduation in the Lincoln Cathedral.
Actually, the more you play it, it's beginning to grow on me now, even sort of bar by bar.
Exactly.
I think that's a reasonable substitute for Land of Hope and Glory.
Exactly, you know. Anyway, so I take it, Cameron, you will return. Natalie,
yes.
What is the time now? It's 6 o'clock. We're already 5 minutes behind schedule. She's doing her world tour. It's the MM time, so we go, who shall we be pressing now?
Michelle Monroe.
Hi, this is Michelle Monroe on the Midweek Drive on Siren 107.3 FM. My choice this week dates back to 1958, the very early days of my father's career, and at that time he was signed to the Fontana label. His producer was Johnny Franz, who would come to have great success with many artists of the 60s, including Dusty Springfield. Today's song was written by Norman Newell and Edward Horan, and recorded at Philips Studio in London with arranger and conductor John Gregory. My father actually only recorded 3 singles for Fontana, and this was the second, A Story of Ireland.
Tell me a story of Ireland. Speak of the mountains, the valleys, the streams. I long to dance to the tune of the Kerry band. That's where the shamrocks, the carpet of dreams. Heaven planned Ireland in a special way. Little folk come to call, and they always stay. Tell me a story. Please tell a story of Ireland too.
I hope you enjoyed my Matt Monroe offering for this week, and if you'd like to follow my travel blog whilst I'm away, just pop over to the forum at www.mattmonroe.com. In the meantime, here's wishing all Siren 107.3 FM listeners a great day, and I'll see you next week.
Meet me in St. Louis, meet me at... Don't tell me the lights are shining in... I will be your tootsie wootsie. Meet me in St. Louis.
Meet me in St. Louis, Louis. I'll
I'll be out in a minute, Agnes. Meet me at the fair. Don't tell me the lights.
I just couldn't resist going down the classic Judy Garland scenario, even though I'm not sure whether Randy Reinholtz will have ever actually said in the immortal history of acting, I'll be out in a minute, Agnes, but, you know, what the hey? Who is hopefully lined up for us now to actually join us for another fantastic session, Natalie?
Jean Bruce Scott.
The legend that is Jean Bruce Scott, the visionary that is Jean Bruce Scott, together with Randy Reinholtz. We'll be speaking to Randy in a few moments, but of course the director of Native Voices, indeed the person who, according to Candice Columbus in the LA Theatre Examiner, gave up her acting career to pursue something that she was passionate about and no one else was doing, a unique theatrical niche, the world's only equity theatre company dedicated exclusively to developing and presenting works by Native American playwrights. She's become a legend as far as the Midweek Drive is actually considered, and hopefully we'll be coming over to Britain in 2013. Jean Bruce Scott, how are you?
Hello, Alex. I'm doing great. Thanks again for that wonderful introduction.
Oh, it's great.
And thanks for Judy Garland. That was fantastic.
You can't be in St. Louis, birthplace of Randy Reinholtz, and not actually sort of do a little bit of Meet Me in St. Louis, I feel. It's great stuff. So how's the tour going? Because this is a kind of road trip with an added bonus that you've been doing recently, Jean.
Yes, we started in Cincinnati at a National Schools of Theater conference, and then we headed to Indianapolis, where we visited the Indiana Rep and the Idle George Museum, and we're working on a couple of projects, ideas with them. And then St. Louis was purely a family stop. We're having a great time with Randy's mom. And today we head out for Kansas City, and we'll be visiting Kansas City Rep and William Jewell College.
Splendid.
So it's going really well. And it's hot.
Well, you know, it's
80 degrees today.
Well, there we are. That's almost as hot as Lincoln in all sorts of ways. It's just great stuff there. So, Jean, I said on the Facebook update when you broke the news that you're looking to come over to England in 2013, I said in capital letters, AWESOME, awesome. Sorry. So, you know, on that basis, is that still go? Can we look forward to you joining us in the studio and all sorts of other bits and pieces when you're over here?
Absolutely. We're looking forward to making a plan. We're coming to Harlaxton College, and we'll be teaching there. But in between, before and after, we plan to do some touring around England and Scotland. So we would love to come and see you at the studio.
Oh, I think that's it. I mean, I've already sent out a line to our colleagues at LPAC, etc. Let's move to our senior lecturer in media theory, Tom Nichols here. Tom, person interested obviously in Native Americans and the whole American ethos, do a lot of work with the routine. Questions for Jean?
Hi Jean. I just wondered, you're producing, your company's new to me, you're presenting works by Native American playwrights. Are you casting largely Native American actors, or is that less of an issue for you?
We develop the scripts by Native American playwrights and do staged readings, and then moving towards production. And when we produce the plays, we only use Native American actors in
Right.
roles.
Yeah. Right.
And we've got quite a talent pool in Los Angeles. We have probably about 100, 150 actors known to Native Voices, and then probably about 60 or so that call themselves company members. That come back and work with us both with our youth programs and then in our retreats and staged readings and then come in and are available for casting.
Oh, great.
Let's open it up a little bit.
Where's your interest lie in Native theatre?
Well, I have a general interest in theatre, I suppose. My wife's an ex-actor, as she described herself now.
Can you ever be an ex-actor? I mean, surely that sounds
she says to me, yes, if you're not actually doing it, then you're not it.
Listen, I've told you, I'm still working on Jean Bruce Scott's character of Caitlin O'Shaughnessy, you know, what happened next? You know, I think she set up her own aircraft company, you know, plane for hire, etc., and became a top secret agent. That's my sort of working gambit at this stage. Just a thought.
I think that's fantastic.
Yeah.
She flies all over the world.
Yeah.
Very secret things, yeah.
Precisely.
I run into Bourne, I would love to have some interaction with Bourne.
Yeah, I think so. I see it as a kind of Hillary Clinton meets Jason Bourne. You know, that's the kind of notion I'm working on here, you know? turns
great,
out so. Yeah,
great.
Exactly.
I fly Hillary in. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Anyway, carry on, Tom. You were talking about your wife.
Well, I mean, that's the theatre side of it. In terms of Native American, I'm very interested in that from a media perspective. I went to APTN, the Aboriginal People's Television Network in Canada, based in Winnipeg, and did a little bit of research there. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's fantastic what you're doing. I mean, the problem, I think, particularly elsewhere in the US, is that the Native American voice is not so often heard, certainly in the Midwest where I visit.
I quote actually from the article, which indeed Tom alluded to earlier, Gene, many thought their adventure foolhardy. How could such a thing, Native voices, actually fly? But the naysayers were mistaken. And there we are. Positive thinking. Don't take notice of that. We'll talk about that with Randy in a few moments. Let's move over to Philippa. Philippa, questions from yourself.
Yes, sir. What sparked your interest in Native American playwright?
Well, Randy and I both started out as actors and had done quite a bit of new play development in Los Angeles and in New York. And when we arrived in Illinois, they asked us if we could find a Native play because Randy is Native American, and as we started to look for one, we called all of our pals, Indiana Rep and Oregon Shakespeare and the Public Theater, and they all said, well, we don't know of any, but if you find one, please let us know because we're looking as well. So we actually teamed up with some folks in Canada at a company called Native Earth. Drew Hayden Taylor was the artistic director at that time. And he put us in touch with some Canadian writers, and we put the word out and found a couple of Native American writers and had a festival, our first festival, with five plays featured three Canadian writers and two American writers, and that was really the big start of it.
So and quite literally.
I hope that answers your question.
Natalie, questions or thoughts from yourself?
Gene, how many other Native American theatre companies are there in the USA?
There are a number of non-professional Native theater companies and what are called either community or tribal community theater companies, but we're the only equity-producing professional theater company in the United States. We're the only equity company dedicated solely to plays by Native Americans. So there's not a lot. There's a new company up in Minnesota, actually called the New Native Theater, but it's not an equity company. And there's Thunderbird Theater, which has been around for quite a while, and they do professional productions, but they're not an equity company. And then there are a couple of other smaller ones as well.
Could you see yourself ever expanding to, say, opening up a theatre company like in the East, in like New York or anywhere else, and expanding that then?
Well, we have producing partners in different places, so we've worked with the Public Theater in New York City, and a couple of years ago they started their Native Theater Initiative under the direction of Oscar Eustace, and Oscar had also done some development of Native Theater when he was at Trinity Repertory Company in Rhode Island. So we do have some partners there who are also interested in developing and producing Native Theater. I think what we probably continue to do rather than opening another theater company is to keep reaching out to professional theater companies like Indiana Rep and Oregon Shakespeare and Montana Rep and the Public to do co-productions with them. We've done that in the past. We have a production coming up in Alaska at Perseverance Theater, which was for many years under the guidance of Molly Smith. And now Art Rauch is the artistic director. And they do both Native and non-Native plays, Native Alaskan plays. So we're trying to do it that way to become sort of a national company, but our base is in Los Angeles.
Just makes perfect sense. Gene, is Randy all set and ready to go for the big introduction? Is he lined up and sorted to make his debut on the Midweek Drive?
He is, and he's very excited. it. Oh,
that's fair. Well, as the phone is passed through in all sorts of ways, I simply say if you add the notions of The Waiting Room, Proof, How I Learned to Drive, Hedda Gabler, The Cherry Orchard, Desire Under the Elms, The Glass Menagerie, and numerous productions of Shakespeare's plays, you have somebody who's native Choctaw, has lectured in film at San Diego State University School of Theatre and Television, a National Theatre Conference, on the board of the public, a member of the National Theatre Conference, a general wonderful person who, of course, had ongoing roles in a whole heap of goodies from China Beach, Tour of Duty, directed over 50 plays in the United States, Australia and Canada, co-sponsored showcases and diversity workshops for ABC and NBC, and is an annual guest artiste for the Fox America Indian Summer Institute. Well, I mean, Hannah, you're almost collapsing with the sheer effort of the excitement that is Randy Reinholtz. Are you indeed there in St. Louis?
In St. Louis, can you meet me there?
Oh, exactly. All sorted through. All sorted through. Randy, welcome along to the Midweek Drive. How are you, sir?
Nice to be with you, Alex. Thank you.
Okay. Right. Well, you're a little bit quiet there. I mean, I don't. So the line's just a little bit.
Shall I speak louder?
Oh, well, that's good. Yeah. Well, yeah, technology. Yeah, we do have more than just two cans across the Atlantic here from that point of view. Tom, we'll come to you again, etc. Any questions you'd like to put to Randy?
Yeah, well, I suppose, you know, given the list you've just run through, and particularly because you have a responsibility in at San Diego, how do you fit it all in? You know, as somebody finds it quite hard to just teach and do a little bit else.
Yeah, you see, that's because we're British, Tom. You know, it's these American, Native American.
We haven't got to get up and
go. We just, you know, it's lost. Anyway.
Our bit is we're to research a third of our time, teach a third of our time, and commit service to the university the third of the time.
Uh-huh.
So that's how I split my time. I'm on the freeway quite a bit, and Gene is an excellent scheduler of any time I have. Puts me on the road, so I get to go on these Midwestern driving trips like she's been on the last few days.
I just have this sense, Randy, of the classic American road movie, you know, and I think here, you know, we possibly missed an opportunity to actually get a reality TV of following Randy and Gene on the road, you know. I just a thought there.
We should have got a station wagon and a guy with a guitar to go with us.
Hey. Exactly. Yeah, let's work through that whole scenario. I mean, Randy, in your own sort of experience, we've talked about this with Gene in the past, as you know, the re-emergence and the re-appreciation of the Native American Indian and the history that comes through that has really kind of gone, you know, it's come back into our consciousness, quite rightly so, from the days where, in essence, you know, you would regard the Lone Ranger and Tonto as being advanced relations between the North American sort of occupations, etc., you know, in all sorts of ways. You know, we have progressed to the notion that not only the spiritual value is there, but there's also this sort of notion of there's something that expresses the human condition is there. If I can actually quote from Phil Leonis, who's up shortly, actually, from Los Angeles. Phil was phenomenally positive in terms of the recent productions at Native American Theatre at the Autry about the sort of work that he's actually done. His line with respect to acting is that the relevance of acting is that it effectively enables people to appreciate life, the whole life experience. It becomes actually essential. Effectively, the relevance of acting is that it constantly changes as one moves from relationship to relationship, job to job, community to community, and so on. And human beings actually, you know, don't want to lose that relevancy. What Native American voices does, I suggest, is it taps into that human condition as much as anything else.
Absolutely. And one of the things that's probably fun is we've had a generation of Native people who've had access to education now, and they are revitalizing what it means to be Native from a Native person's point of view. And for a while, there was kind of a protective attitude toward that. You're not Native, you don't belong. And now we're realizing how we're all related in so many different parts of the world. And we realize we really do have to share and work together because these resources we thought would last forever are soon to be gone. So what are we going to do? So let's work together and let's tell stories that really touch us all.
Makes perfect sense. Katie, any questions for yourself?
Don't think so.
No, okay. Let's move on to Hannah. Thoughts from the opposite point of view.
I was just wondering, what's your favourite kind of piece that you've worked on so far?
Oh, well, there's
Shakespeare, Romeo and Juliet. It was called Kino and Teresa. She's Spanish in New Mexico. We're in the 17th century, and he's Pueblo. I'm actually working on another adaptation of a Shakespeare, Midsummer Night's Dream, or Measure for Measure, and placing it at a boarding school where Indians were taken away from their families to be taught to be civilized. There was a person who was very famous for saying, kill the Indian, but save the man, and that was done through education. So I'm very interested in the intersection of what happens with education and culture and people. And, of course, you can imagine, if you remember Shakespeare's Measure for Measure, the boy gets the girl pregnant and is sentenced to death, unjustly so. And, of course, we can imagine if he were a native boy who got the white girl pregnant, he would be sentenced to death. And that would cause quite an uproar. And, of course, Shakespeare calls this a comedy. So how do we find this? And it's got a little Blazing Saddles in it. And all the folks from the pub down the school, down the street from the school, save the boy. So it's a fun time to kind of take these old stories, Shakespeare and so forth, who was a big borrower of stories, and put them to work for our own end.
Hmm. Although, not, I hasten to add, was Shakespeare such a borrower of stories as suggested in a recent movie that was produced, which suggested he actually didn't write anything? Please.
No, yes. I don't like that.
No, it's just there's only certain things you get to do. Natalie, thoughts for yourself?
Do you do a lot of adaptations then?
I'm sorry, I didn't quite hear what you said.
Do you do a lot of adaptations?
Well, that's actually unusual, the adaptations. Are probably stories. Like the one we just did last year was called The Fry Bread Queen. Fry bread is like donuts, and it's basically made from flour, salt, and lard, and was a commodity, a staple for Native people. So The Fry Bread Queen dealt with three generations of Native women, and ultimately the conversation was, is it better for this young girl, this teenage girl, to be raised in an urban environment where she has access to education, or should she be raised in a traditional environment on a reservation where she would learn the traditions and the authentic traditions of her people, but on the reservations there are a lot of social issues that we still don't know the answers to, like suicide and abuse. So, and again, in a lot of comedy all through that, the way the Indians deal with most of these issues, we laugh at a lot of it instead of just crying and feeling sorry for ourselves.
It's extraordinary stuff in so many ways, and I think there's going to be a whole heap of things we can actually work through there. Andy, it's been splendid touching base with your good self. So the line has not been, funny enough, Gene was fine, you know, Gene was coming through nice and clearly, and yet you get a good routine. We thought, not quite sort of scenario, but however, I'll ask the two questions in this particular case. Randy Reynolds, have you had a reasonably interesting debut telephonic link on the Midweek Drive today? Well, I was going to say, so we can look forward to hopefully connecting with you again, and certainly, actually, I think we've got another couple of regular co-presenters here, which is like husband and wife teams across the land, really. We've got Annette Andre and Arthur Weingarten. We've got, you know, Gene Bruce Scott and Randy Reinholtz. It's just wonderful. It's genius joy, etc. So, Randy, we salute you for the moment. If Gene's around, we'll come back to her to sort of wrap up this particular instance. So that's great. Randy, take care, and we'll let you go back to the trolley song, which we'll work our way through in all sorts of ways. A little reverence there. Excellent stuff there. As Randy sort of fades into the scenario here, and the other thing about Jean Bruce Scott on Facebook as well is there's the wonderful amount of cutesy animal pictures she puts up there, because it's wonderful. It's a whole range of things, yeah. There, Jean. I do like that.
That's my tired panda look. That's how I am after a production.
Oh, the tired panda. Yeah, I like that.
The tired panda.
Yeah,
it's sleepy panda.
Well, you know, it's just a case of working through that whole process. Tom, you've had a chance to sort of reflect on the whole range of things and say, hopefully all being well, I'm sure we can work. It's not beyond the wit that we can coordinate something in the university to actually sort of showcase Gene and Randy's work here next year sometime. But, you know, thoughts from yourself?
Well, I would certainly hope so, yeah. Hmm. Yes, I think that would be, you know, of a lot of interest here and elsewhere in the UK. Mm-hmm. And we've got a performing arts centre on campus, so we're fully equipped.
There's no reason whatsoever not to get the whole thing sorted through.
I was also thinking that the tired panda look is pretty much where we are at the end of a long term, I think.
Yeah.
I'll share that with you.
Well, you know, and you know, the students, the customers, they don't realise, you know, they think, why aren't we just as bright and sparky now as we were in Freshers Week? It's because you've worn us out, guys. You know,
you wear us out.
I was going to say, Natalie, you just bled us dry of our creative juices in all sorts of ways, etc. But still, you know, worn out, whatever. Still to come on the show today, we've got a little revelation, yeah, a little mini revelation about one of the co-presenters in the studio who is referred to by this particular sobriquet. And I don't think even they know it at this particular stage, so that's going on. We've got Phil Dienis, hopefully tied in with Los Angeles. We've got two alternate numbers for Phil, so all being well, we should be connecting with respect to that. So exciting stuff there. Actually, Gene, hopefully you'll be supporting us in spirit when we actually take part in a Guinness World Record attempt on Saturday, at least some of us will do, which is effectively in Scarborough, where we're having the greatest number of teddy bears, that's teddy bears, ever to travel on a miniature railway conducted by BAFTA award-winning director Graham Harper. It's in aid of a horse.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
How many do you have?
I don't quite know as yet, but I think we're talking hopefully a significant number. Natalie, of course, will be in charge of the badger, which is going out for its little outing, but you're not willing to actually put your own two bears up there. Understandable.
No.
It's quite all right.
I wish I'd known earlier. I would have sent you some bears.
Well,
I love teddy bears.
I tell you what, you know, we might look towards that towards the latter part of the month when we're looking at another sort of event for that. We'll coordinate for that. However, it falls now to Natalie to throw those last two questions at you, good self, Jean, in your inimitable style, Natalie. Off you go.
Have you enjoyed... Dear me.
Outrageous.
I'll start again. Hold on. Please. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic conversation with us this evening?
Absolutely. I always do. It's great fun to talk to all of you and to learn about what you're doing over there. And I'm so humbled and grateful for the time that you give us to talk about what we do over here.
And can we look forward to connecting with you in the near future?
Please do. I really look forward to the phone calls.
Oh, there we are. You see, it's going to work in all sorts of magical ways. Jean Bruce Scott and Randy Reinholtz, we salute you. We must actually work out on getting Randy a better line next time, though, because you know it was just about visible. It was Jean, if you can appreciate it, was at threshold. If we were actually in Airwolf at this moment in time, you would have found the dials not quite going up there. You know, but you know there's quality there, and of course you can listen again, and the magic will be working through. But if I set the trolley song with Jean, Judy Garland, would you think that would be a useful way to sort of keep celebrating the St. Louis effect?
Absolutely. We're having a great time and I'd love to hear the song again.
With my high starch collar and my high top shoes and my hair piled high upon my head, I went to lose a jolly hour on the trolley and lost my heart instead.